Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Should have went to the bathroom.
Ew, good morning. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to the Stochastic.com NBA Strategy Show. A little five-game action tipping off at 6 p.m. today. And only one team on second of a back-to-back. Phoenix Suns got a bunch of injury news, speculation to make there. Nurkic, Booker, Eric Gordon, all of those. Yeah. Definitely worth digging into a little bit. We'll hit it all. Appreciate you guys being with us as always. That's Josh Ingleman. I'm Dave Lockham. What's up, brother? How's your weekend going?
It's been interesting. It's had some incredibly great peaks and some incredibly low valleys. But the peak yesterday was Liverpool picking up a dub with basically no time left on the clock to like really save our chances of winning the title. Fun stuff.
Solid. Yeah, I would imagine you being at the Liverpool bar, which I didn't even know existed.
There's one in like every city, basically.
Still didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
We're an official supporters club. We have an official supporter designation.
That's cool. Yeah. Yesterday was my daughter's birthday. So obviously, 3-year-old birthday, you take that as an opportunity, as a green light to knock them back. That's just kind of how it goes.
A couple cocktails.
Yeah. Had the family over. Had a good time. And paying for it. Nah, I'm mostly.
What did she get for her birthday?
Stuff.
You didn't get nothing good? You're not cool like that? Have like a Barbie four-wheeler or anything?
So here's the thing. I tell my wife all the time, like, if she gets a little bit older and can really appreciate cool gifts, I'm going to be getting her literally whatever. Not in the sense that she's spoiled rotten.
Yeah.
But in the sense of like, hey, if you asked for something that you would use, that you could really appreciate. Yeah, you're damn right. You know, I did get her roller. They're like hybrid roller skate rollerblades. You can't find them for anybody. Like they don't even make. So basically the front two wheels are inline. Okay. Right. And then the back two are out. So,
Like an old person's motorcycle.
Yeah. Almost exactly. Except instead of one and two, it's two and two.
Two and one. Yeah.
They don't make them. Other than like for her age, any different than that. You can't even find them. These are the smallest I could get, but
okay.
Almost threw my back out trying to hold her up yesterday. That'll be an experience. But no, she got some fun stuff. She had an Elsa themed party, which is whatever. You know the movie Frozen?
I'm familiar.
She wanted an Elsa cake with
Did you dress up like Oleg or whatever his name is?
I don't know. I've never watched it. She watched.
How is that possible? How have you never watched it? But that was
like I've seen it, but I don't know the names. She wanted an Elsa cake with a helicopter on it, so that's what she. Bizarre, man. Yeah, hopefully she's not schizophrenic. Anyway, happy to have you guys with us. Take a single second. Sunday morning, you know how it goes. Atone for your sins here on the Strategy Show. Hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, and leave a comment down below. We love reading these comments, responding to them. And if you want to listen in podcast form, like you've heard me say it once, I'll say it one more time. Everything in podcast form, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, wherever it is that you listen, we got you covered, man. Dude, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately. Cat Williams was on Rogan. That was intense.
So he's just, no one should listen to him speak.
Why?
Right?
It's fantastic.
Let's start here quickly before we go to podcasts. Dan Soder dropped a special on YouTube. Really good.
Enjoy. I heard it's good. I love Dan Soder. I'm about 30 minutes into the JRE episode.
A much
His
better
Cat Williams impression.
Cat.
Also very good.
Right out of the gate. We're talking about shit. Yes, it was great.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I'm not a cat guy.
Dylan was on Schultz, but Schultz, I can't. I have such a tough time like listening to that flagrant podcast, man. I can't do it. Can't do it. It's not for me.
That's fair.
But yeah, anyway.
We shouldn't be listening to Cat talk.
Why?
He's insane. He's insane.
Well, one man's insane.
I go to the library and get 20 books twice a week.
Yo, it was a fun listen. Let me tell you that much. Very fun listen. Anyway, five games Sunday. Sunday, man. This is the toughest day of the week. Some may say it's the easiest. Detroit, Orlando. Ooh. What's up?
I'm just trying to think about where I land on that. I do hate Sundays. You know what? You know, the only way Sunday is good is long weekends. Then Sunday is the best.
If it's a long weekend, you said?
Yeah, when you have Monday off, Sunday is the great. That Sunday is the greatest day ever.
Otherwise, it's basically just purgatory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's your least favorite day of the week?
And by the way,
like, football, like work day.
Sundays during football season are my favorite, by the way. I love Sundays during football season.
Of course.
Like, that's
very different vibe there.
Different. You know, it's like 18 Christmases until the games start. Least favorite day of the week is for me, for sure, Monday. I'm not.
Interesting.
Because I never feel great on Mondays. Because, like, my diet goes to shit on the weekends, you know, and things. And then, like, if it's on Saturday, Sunday, I'm kind of fine. I'm still not feeling it. Monday, I wake up and I'm feeling all of the effects of the weekend. That's the problem. So Monday for me.
Thursday is my least favorite day. Monday, obviously Saturday is my favorite day. But if we're talking work days, Monday is my favorite work day.
Okay.
Because for some reason I haven't, well, at least it used to be. Now it's kind of different since, like, work exists all the time. I used to love going to work on Monday. It would go the fastest because I was 48 hours removed from doing that shit. So I got through my Monday very quickly. By Thursday, it's just like, fuck, I got one more day of this garbage. Like, I'm out of gas at that point.
I get it. Yeah.
Different now.
Non-football Sundays, though, still the worst for me.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. And yeah, YNWH, the live in Austin is what put him on the map, man. That was just a phenomenal.
You'll never walk alone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, all right.
That's our song.
I should have known that abbreviation, or I should have known that acronym.
Yes.
Then what's LFC 1892?
Liverpool Football Club, established 1892.
Oh, You'll Never Walk Alone is like a Liverpool thing?
Yeah, it's our song.
Oh, then I certainly wouldn't know that. Gotcha.
Well, you should. Get some culture in your life.
Is this guy one of your buddies from the bar?
I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe. It'd be cool if it was. But I don't know. I don't think so.
All right.
Basketball time. Hey, whoever I just saw yesterday.
Detroit and Orlando is 218 total. The Pistons are 11-point dogs today. This should be fun, as always.
Beautiful dogs.
I know there's always bad teams in basketball, but it really does. And I suppose it felt like this with football this season too, when it came to quarterbacks, where every single week I'm talking about, no joke, you know, 12 to 17 quarterbacks that shouldn't be in the league. It does. And this might just be recency bias for me, which is entirely possible. It feels like the bad teams in basketball this year are worse than they've been in the past. Again, I could just be seeing this through the lens of, like, well, I'm talking about it every day. It just seems like every time you and I do a show, there's 6, 7, 8 teams where you're like, yeah, they're double-digit dogs again, and they're not even facing a top team in the league.
Yeah, it's been pretty bleak this year at the bottom. Like, what? And I'm with you that it feels like it's more so. Last year, the bottom 4 teams in net rating, -6, -8.5, -8.5, -10. Right now, -9, -9.5, -10, -10. Actually, -11, -11. Like, the extremes are bigger. Mm-hmm. They're further down than they normally were. Like, Memphis is a -6 net rating. They are the sixth worst team. That would have been...
That alone is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like Utah's... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Utah's seventh worst at -3.8. That's where Portland was last year at sixth. But the just like the bottom is deeper by like 2 points.
Which so I guess what I'm saying is you look at Utah and I don't even... Because like in context of the rest of the slate, I don't even look at Utah as one of the bad teams. Like obviously they're a bad team, but you don't look at them, you don't group them in with the Hornets and the Pistons, and you know, it's crazy.
Portland, Detroit, Washington, and Charlotte are all next level awful.
Jeff Williams, Josh, do you mind giving any advice on which sites you would and wouldn't recommend for betting in North Carolina since we have a few days before Christmas? I'll tell you because I've been
whatever betting. The Odd Shopper links probably tell you, but he'll know more than I will. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been betting them legal in PA for a while. There are no books that are not worth betting on ever. Some of them will limit you quickly if you start winning, but they're offering deposit bonuses, so you take them. It's that like they'll offer the bonus bets. The first bet, you know, safety net type things. There's never a sports book, and forget about what you see on Twitter where people are like, don't bet here. Points bet, for example, not a fan of points bet, right? They took me down to nothing after like 7 bets. But you know what happened, Josh? They paid me out and I got my money, so who cares? And I got a bonus sign up. Right now in North Carolina. They go live on the 11th. They go live on the 11th for sports betting.
Yeah.
Right now, the two best ones, because I assume, Jeff, you're already on DraftKings and FanDuel. Those have great sign-up bonuses. It's like bet 5, get 200 in bonus bets or something like that. But BetMGM has sign-up pre-reg before March 11th and get $200 in bonus bets just for signing up. Links to both of these are in the description if you want to get on that, by the way. You hit the description, scroll down, you'll see BetMGM and Bet365. Bet365, even better, Josh. Deposit 10, get 100 instantly. And then when they go live, bet 5 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to do every one that I can do. So I'm probably not the best guy to ask. Every bonus that exists for everything, I'm going to grab.
Yep.
At its max.
Yep, for sure. Bet365 has, if you wanted to do like bet 1,000, you have the safety net too. But if you're just looking for the free bonus bets, there's $500 in bonus bets right there for $10 total on MGM and 365. Got to be 21 years or older to gamble, of course. And if you have a problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. But if you're in North Carolina, get in on the pre-reg because that's $300 in bonus bets from 365. That's $200 just for signing up, not even depositing on BetMGM. There's real money to be made there for sure out of the gate. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into it.
You'll know these things way better than I would.
Yeah, like I said, I've burned through all of the bonuses. Like I've taken advantage of everyone I can. And
do we want to hit these other two super chats quick?
Yeah, please.
We got Freudian Slip. What are your thoughts on the non-late swap contest? I had my most profitable NBA DFS day ever. I don't want them to exist unless it means that the entire ecosystem for DraftKings gets bigger. So if it means that we're going to have more money into contests, then I'm okay with it. But I would prefer it to not exist. And I want late swap.
Jamal said, thanks guys for all you do for us in the SF peeps. Had Emac and playback. Farm bet his bedtime chilling with us. Stochastic for life. Yeah, man.
Oh, my shirt matches the color of that on the screen. That's fun. I tried to do that.
Does that have a pocket on it?
It does.
That's an Old Navy right there.
Sure is. You know it, brother.
The only Old Navy shirt I ever have is that exact shirt.
I got a couple of them.
I went to pull the tag off and the whole thing ripped out. Just ripped the shirt apart.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that they make these shirts in a bad place with poor quality control. Just
those are one of the ones that you wash before you wear it.
Not American made, I'm guessing.
Detroit and Orlando. All right, let's dive in. So Cade, 8,100. We do have ownership and everything updated here, by the way. Jalen Doran is pulling 9%. Cade at 10%. Everybody else is just getting nothing. Again, not a fast-paced game. Tough matchup for Detroit. you can't go into this one looking at this Pistons team, even on a five gamer, thinking, man, they look great today. I think the only argument to be made with Cunningham, though, and he's coming off another really tough matchup against Cleveland, I know, because I bet the under 23.5 there, but he's playing huge minutes and he's still a high enough usage player, good distributor. He can go out there and have these good games. There's just no arguing that this is a good matchup.
I'm loving Cade here in this spot, even though it is just dreadful for Detroit for in this spot, like top five level defense for Orlando, bottom five level pace for Orlando. Detroit's certainly running into a situation that isn't great, but Cade's been playing really well lately. 1.27 DraftKings points per minute over the past 30 days. I've got him in for 30% usage and a 35%+ assist rate. We're talking like 22 points, 7.5 assists, something in that neighborhood. I have 34% of Cade right now, looking like one of my more exposed guys on the day. And I don't really have much of a problem here. Like, it's a five-game slate. You know, you can't just disregard any one team. And the best player on the Pistons looks like the best option you can get to. We have him 10% optimal, 10% owned, so nothing too crazy there. We're going to be way higher on Cade in the future. I would be very surprised if we continue to project Cade at 31.5 minutes. That just doesn't seem like it's going to hold.
No, he's played 36+ in three straight. If it's a close enough game, he's getting 36 minutes.
Right. I expect to see that number come up a little bit, which is going to make him look even better from an optimal percentage. Probably brings his ownership up too as we move a little bit further into the day, which could limit him for me. But I think he very clearly looks like the best guy here. I think the only other option that you can get to is Jalen Duren. Very similar to Cade, 1.21 DraftKings points per minute over the past 30 days. He plays, you know, basically 31 minutes a night. He is now playing alongside Isaiah Stewart pretty regularly, but he's 9% owned, 11% optimal. They are the only two guys pulling anything north of 4% on either side.
Orlando's, you know, in a good spot. Again, low total, but this is one of those questions now. And by the way, everyone's back to, presumably, unless we get any news, being at full health on this Orlando team today. Banchero and Isaac back. Wagner, 7,700 against this Detroit team. Cole Anthony, Mo Wagner, all 13% ownership right now. Again, this is just kind of one of those games. And let me add some context to this. You have the Indy San Antonio game with a 243 total. You have OKC and Phoenix at 233.5, but that is also one where everything in that game could change. With Booker leaving last game towards the end, didn't return. I know there wasn't much time left, but it looked like he was not in great condition to play the next day. Yusuf Nurkic with neck spasms and Eric Gordon still questionable. Distinct possibility that all three of those guys are out today. Here's the tough part, Josh. 9:30 game, and every other game locks by 7 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, we need that news. The injury report, at the very least, will be very helpful for that one, just to get an idea if anybody's just immediately out. That will be helpful. That's going to be a real pain in the ass. Now, you'll have enough swaps on the OKC side, because they do kind of tier their dudes up the salary level, so like maybe you can get some movement around there, but Phoenix is lined up to be pretty dreadful. Orlando, on the other hand, here against Detroit, kind of looks decent, but it depends who you're looking at. Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, and Cole Anthony are all about 12% owned, and they're all about 12% optimal. As of right now, because of the way that value looks on this slate, Cole Anthony is the guy that I'm getting to the most. I do not love that. I don't trust his minutes ever, basically. They don't ever feel like they really want him to be out there. You usually need somebody out to really give that big bump. I gave him 23 minutes. We have him in at 21. I might be a minute too high, but he is a guy I'm getting over on. I'm neutral on Mo Wagner. I'm a little bit over on John Isaac, who's 3,400. We can have that conversation like we do basically every single time the Magic play. I don't think any individual guy for the Magic stands out, but they just look a little bit better than normal because they get to face the Pistons.
Yeah, I ran the Sims just to see what we were getting now that we have ownership and everything and projections. 11% Anthony, 9% Mo Wagner, 7% Franz Wagner. Like, it was just kind of a spattering of these guys all within that 5 to 10% range. My guess is if this were on a 8-9 game slate, you'd be getting very, very, very little Orlando, put it that way.
Exact same theory for me here. Like, you just wouldn't be seeing any of this coming in.
No. Both sides, really. You look at this Charlotte and Toronto game. There is actually some injury news here. Well, not news. We already know it. LaMelo's still out. Seth Curry's out. But Cody Martin's also out today. So now you've taken a pretty awful Charlotte team to begin with.
Yeah.
But, all right, doesn't really matter. Plus, you and I have talked about this at length recently. Toronto Raptors, not exactly a defensive mastermind as a unit, this team. So now you're talking about a Toronto team that's just been coughing up. Scope, like lens, but you look at the last few games, points allowed 119, 122, 127, 93. That's Brooklyn. 122, 136, 120. It's just every single game, teams are dropping 120 plus on them. I'm not saying that the Charlotte Hornets go out there on the road and do that, but it's objectively a good spot when you've got injuries to this Charlotte backcourt that was already banged up without LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, this is the worst part of today by far. It's really, really, really unappealing to look at this Charlotte team and realize that we have 55% ownership coming into Vasilij Micic, 48 to Trey Mann, 42 to Brandon Miller, call it 25 to Grant Williams, Nick Richards, and Miles Bridges, plus another 12 to you. It's a lot, dude. It's a lot. And I agree with all of it. Like, Toronto's defense hasn't been good. They play faster. In theory, they're going to be worse now with Scotty Barnes out for probably the rest of the year. I think you got to get a ton of these dudes. I have 60% of Miles Bridges. I have 60% of Trey Mann. I have 45% of Brandon Miller. I'm dead neutral on Grant Williams. I'm dead neutral on Nick Richards. I'm a little bit lighter on Micic. He's 4,300 point guard, shooting guard. He's the one coming in 56% owned, negative 29% leverage. I think I'm only light because I went 26 minutes and we have 29 and a half. If I give him another minute today or potentially two, then I'm probably going to be up in that 50% range as well. This is, and I don't even think it's really close. This is the most owned team on the slate. It's my most owned team on the slate. They have almost twice as much ownership as Toronto, which is the second highest owned team.
It's amazing. And they should be that high. Like, how do you get away from guys like Trey Mann and Miller and Micic too? All of these guys, even if you're underweight on Micic, because what, we have him at 56%.
Yeah.
But how do you get away from it?
He's still 26% optimal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm light, but he's still in a third of my stuff.
And, you know, you mentioning Barnes is, I'm glad you did, because think about it for a second. Yeah, Scotty Barnes, I'm not saying he is the best. I'm not saying that he makes this team, you know, this defense significantly better, because the defense has already been terrible, but he's their best player. They're only 7-point favorites today at home against the Hornets. That should tell you all you need to know, right? Like, the Hornets are already a skeleton crew. They're already running out outside of Bridges. Like, outside of Miles Bridges, what is there on this team? There's nothing. Like, Brandon Miller's a nice young player, right? But he's not moving the needle.
They're
7-point favorites at home. That kind of tells you all you need to know.
I was shocked when I saw that. They're still 7-point dogs against a team with no Scotty Barnes, no OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam. Like, all the dudes that used to be on the Toronto team aren't there, and they're still 7-point dogs.
I wasn't that shocked about it. The only reason I wasn't is because, as bad, and you've mentioned this a lot, like, that Toronto feels like underperformers in every but that's, you still can't just factor, you can't just be like, oh, they're underperforming, so now Vegas is going to make them dogs at home. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, that's not how it works.
It's not how it works. How many times have we talked about the postseason where people are like, no, Milwaukee lost to the Heat, so the Heat are a better team. Not really. As bad as Toronto's been, if you made Toronto, like think of it this way. If you made Toronto 3.5 point favorites today or whatever, that line would get just absolutely hammered.
Yeah, they would immediately move the line. Like,
correct.
So they would immediately, whatever you think, like if you think that's what it's supposed to be, if they drop that line right now, it would get moved to 7 in 90 seconds.
Yeah. All of the sharp money.
10 of the most like line moving guys are going to hit that for the max amount that they can. And they're going to be like, well, we got that one wrong.
Yep. Because no matter how bad Toronto's defense has been, you still can't look at this game and assume that, like Charlotte is even close to this, as good a team. That's just the way it is. But my point is that Toronto has been bad and Scotty Barnes is out now. So yeah, getting to a lot of Charlotte with Martin out, Seth Curry out, LaMelo Ball still yet to return. You have no other option than to play these type of guys on a 5-game slate against such a terrible defense, just the way it is. And also one more thing, other than Bridges, you're not paying a premium on anybody for this team.
No. And I don't even think you're paying a premium on Bridges. I mean, we're talking about 1.05 to 1.1 fantasy points per minute. He plays 38 minutes a night. Like, you're kind of paying what you should be for Bridges. But no, I mean, 4,300 for Misic. He's like a 0.8 guy, but he's going to step into more playing time. Trey Mann's been at 0.95 since he got started. Like, it all looks good.
How about Kelly Olynyk on the other side? You see that ownership?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't have it. It was worth a conversation here.
All right, well, let's start with this conversation then, right? Because Barnes played 16 minutes last game. Yeah. The Raptors have not played since Scotty Barnes went down.
Correct.
So what does this team look like now? What do you expect the starting lineup to be? So who do you expect to be slotted in into the starting five for Barnes? And who do you think ultimately benefits the most?
So they went to Kelly Olynyk as the Barnes replacement in the second half last time out. I'm not entirely sure that's what they're going to do moving forward. It makes a lot more sense to start Bruce Brown to me. Whether or not they do that, I don't know. You would think Bruce Brown is going to get more minutes by default. I think Kelly Olynyk will get more minutes by default. And then I think someone steps into the rotation. Like, I think Boucher is now going to get 12 minutes a night, maybe. And then I think you get, you know, 8 to 12 minutes for either Jalen McDaniels or Jordan Wara, one of those guys.
By the way, Bruce Brown, I don't know if you saw this a few minutes ago. He's questionable now.
Not helpful. Well, very helpful if we get the news, which we should at 6 p.m. If he ends up out, then all of these discussion points become a lot easier to hit on. Like, we've got Kelly Olynyk at 55% owned, 41% optimal. We gave him 28 minutes. I went 26. I think Bruce Brown is just as likely to play. Like, obviously the Q tag is going to change some things, but I think Bruce Brown is just as likely to get this sort of role bump or starting. Like, because if they start Kelly Olynyk and Jakob Poeltl alongside of each other, like, it just feels weird. Like, it seems way more, like, all the pieces fit together to me in my mind better if it's Bruce Brown. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not surprised that they went to Olynyk in the first game. That didn't shock me at all. But if it's Bruce Brown, he's 4,700. Point guard, shooting guard, which is, you know, do it with that what you want. But those aren't the right positions. I like his flexibility and 12% ownership a lot more than I like Olynyk right now at 55% owned. I think we end up seeing both of those numbers come closer to each other if Bruce Brown plays. Because there's just, like, obviously Kelly Olynyk is a much better per minute dude than Bruce Brown. But you are getting better positions with Bruce Brown. Like, Kelly Olynyk having center eligibility doesn't help the same way that having point guard and shooting guard does. I don't like the multiple of ownership between the two. And it makes me like Bruce Brown more in large field GPPs and Kelly Olynyk a little bit less.
Yeah, not
but
exactly.
Whoever ends up being the starter, that's the thing that matters the most.
and not a cheap price point on Olynyk either. I mean, don't get me wrong. If Olynyk were to start in this spot, 5,700 still looks fantastic.
Couldn't agree more.
But yeah, you're not getting like massive value on him. Either way, you would. I mean, if you're starting, you essentially would be. The guy's a good per minute guy. Plus, you're taking Barnes off the floor. You're not taking somebody off the floor that's just a low usage player who gets a lot of minutes. I mean, taking Barnes off the floor, their best player, it's going to open things up. So that leads me to the next question, right? You're obviously going to have someone benefit as a starter and play more minutes. But what does that do now for guys? And we can look at some on-off data as well. What does that do for guys like Jakob Poeltl, RJ Barrett specifically, Emmanuel Quickley, these type of guys who no longer have to share the rock with Barnes?
Yeah, we're seeing – you see a bump to RJ Barrett for sure. Well, you see just opportunity bumps for Quickley, for Barrett, even for Gary Trent getting like some shots up. And we're seeing it in the ownership. 15% owned Quickley, basically 15% optimal. 15% owned Barrett, basically 15% optimal. Both of those guys look really solid. I don't think it really changes much for Jakob Poeltl. He looks good. He's 28% owned, probably a little over-owned, but makes up for it in the fact that he's got a matchup against the Charlotte Hornets. That's usually a cure for what ails you. There's just a lot of love coming into Toronto. They're the second most owned team. They're in an incredible spot against the Hornets. And they've just now freed up 36 minutes from their rotation by losing their best player for what I expect to be the entirety of the rest of the season.
I was a little bit surprised when I ran the Sims at first and was only getting like 17% Quickley, not a lot of Barrett.
Yeah.
But then it became, you know, quickly apparent to me that the DraftKings did actually bump those prices pretty significantly.
They did. This was almost not the like giant value chasm that I thought it could have been.
This isn't like Barnes got hurt yesterday on the front end of a back-to-back and all of these prices are the same. Quickley's almost $8,000 now.
Barrett's still solid.
I think he's still getting 17%. What I'm saying is it didn't make him like a 50% jam spot on a five gamer.
Yeah. No. And I thought that was going to be what we'd end up having.
Me too. If he was 6,800 still, I think it would be.
We would end up getting to a wealth of this dude.
Wrap this game up for me, just because there's so much on every side. I think we're just going to have a lot of exposure to both sides of this game, whether you want it or not. Yeah. Go ahead.
Quickly, Barrett, Poeltl all look like really nice plays today, somewhere in that like 15% optimal range, upwards of 20. Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk are very interesting based on whoever is named this fifth starter. If it's Olynyk, you're going to see that 55% ownership be like a completely real thing, and it should be. Mm-hmm. And then I think Bruce Brown becomes like a really fun GPP play at probably lower ownership than it should be. And then if it's the opposite, if Bruce Brown starts, you're going to see that Kelly Olynyk ownership probably come down into like the 35-ish range. You'll probably see Bruce Brown go up into that like 25% range. Then you're kind of balanced between the two. You still want to play them both because I'm anticipating them both getting increased minutes because of no Barnes.
Pacers are 6.5-point favorites on the road against the Spurs. Fast-paced game, defenseless game, 243.5 total. Boy, Tyrese Haliburton, talk about rock bottom. That was a tough one last time out. Did you happen to see his final tally on that one?
I did not.
Take a look if you can pull that up. And you want me to just tell you? I'll tell you what Tyrese Haliburton did last time out.
I can get there in
23 minutes, 0 points on 0-for-7 shooting, 0-for-6 from beyond the arc, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 7.75 DraftKings points in 23 minutes.
That's a new one.
It's uncharacteristic.
That's a true statement. I mean, 3 assists is insane.
I know. Granted, they got blown out against the Pels, but yeah, I was a little bit surprised to see that. Either way, he's at $9,200 today. Didn't mention it earlier in the show, but among the high-priced options, you've got SGA against Phoenix. Phoenix on the second of a back-to-back could be down a lot of players. You got Wemby on the other side of this game, 10-4, seeing a nice little uptick in playing time. And then Kevin Durant, kind of another one in flux, because if Devin Booker sits today, what does that do? And I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Booker sit after that injury. Brunson at 96, tough matchup against Cleveland. Questionable Mitchell, slow pace game against the Knicks. So there could be some shakeups here at the top, depending on this Phoenix news. What are you doing with a guy like Halliburton, and what are you doing with the rest of the Pacers?
Basically not playing Halliburton, which seems to be where I've been at for a while now.
I got 2%.
I have 6. I'm under on McConnell, who's getting 15. That's interesting to me. I'm under on Siakam, who's getting 13. Now, we have him properly owned, but the one guy that I am getting to here is $6,600 Miles Turner. Now, his minutes have become very odd in a way that I don't totally understand. 28, 30, 26, 26, 19, obviously in that blowout last time out, but he's just not getting that 30-minute a game like you would have expected him to get just every single time out. He's like kind of in that 27 range every night. That said, 6,600 here. I like the spot against San Antonio. He's 16% owned. Now, we have him with the most negative leverage on the team. I'm a bigger believer in Miles Turner for today. He is somebody that I want to try to get to. 1.3 DraftKings points per minute over the past 30 days for Turner. It's a pretty healthy rate, and I love the spot. So I'm looking to get to Turner. Probably have a couple shares of Jalen Smith because he still has that power forward eligibility as the backup center. But I'm a little bit more pessimistic on the Siakam, McConnell, Halliburton trio as guys that are pulling like 10 to 15% ownership.
The Spurs to me are just really interesting for a couple of reasons. One, Wemby's just been outstanding. You got 34 minutes from him 2 games ago, 32 minutes last game, in a 14-point win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. If he's playing, let's just say close game, you get 34 minutes from him, 10-4 just ends up being more than a reasonable price point. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, if I told you were getting, and you can't guarantee this, I would assume we're projecting him for around like 32 minutes today. I haven't looked.
We have 31.
31, and I'm still getting 40% in the Sims, and that's at 31 minutes. A close game, 31 is essentially 31 minutes is his floor in a close game right now.
I think so too. And he looks good. We're talking about a guy that's 1.86 DraftKings points per minute over the past 30 days.
That's crazy.
He's, you know, a double double plus 5 stocks is like a normal projection. I mean, I got him for like 25, 11, 3.5 assists, and 5 stocks, 3.5 blocks, and a steal and a half. That's like, we're talking about somebody that doesn't exist in the NBA. He's really hard to talk about. He just looks awesome all the time. And he should look exceptional here against the Pacers. Like, the amount of possessions and opportunities he's going to have to just send people shit into the shadow realm is going to be fun to do. So I'm a big, like, he's 25% owned. I think he deserves every bit of it. The guy that you should be getting to, though, here from San Antonio, I believe, is going to be Keldon Johnson. We don't have Julian Champagne today. He is out. My expectation is that Keldon Johnson moves back into that starting role. I went 29 minutes. We have 28. We also have him 25% optimal, 17% owned. Keldon Johnson's in 68% of my lineups right now. I expect his ownership to climb throughout the day, assuming he ends up being that starter, but he's just not priced the way Keldon Johnson, a starter, should be priced right now. So he is the most interesting guy for me from San Antonio. I am more than happy to get to Devin Vassell, although he is sporting a very sizable negative leverage. Jeremy Sochan, another starter that plays 28 to 30 minutes, looks fine. Trey Jones, similar story. These guys are all around like 15% owned. They look like they should be. This is a great spot for San Antonio.
For sure. Jason asked, is Halliburton hurt or just horrific now? I'll be honest. If I had to guess, I don't think he's 100%. Given that
I think he's been hurt since he came back early because he's trying to get to 65 games.
Exactly. He came back for a game after like a long layoff, and then you get word that he's going to be out for 3 games just from a maintenance perspective. That doesn't make much sense. No. So yeah, my guess is he's not 100%.
So they have 21 games left. And he needs to play in 17 of them, maybe 16. If you can get finicky with like that, you got to play at least 20 minutes thing. So
Wemby's averaging 7.85 stocks over his last 7.
Yeah. I mean, what's the betting line on defensive stats?
Oh yeah, let's pull it up. Let's take a look. By the way, mentioned it earlier, guys, but if you're in North Carolina, don't wait till March 11th to sign up for sports betting on these books that you're not at. They're all doing pre-registration signups, all of them. BetMGM right now is sign up. Don't even deposit. Sign up, get $200 in bonus bets when they go live on the 11th. Bet365, deposit 10 and get 100 in bonus bets. Then bet only 5 of that initial deposit and get another 200 in bonus bets when they go live. Links are in the description for BetMGM and 365. By the way, if you're in any other states where Bet365 is there, that's still bet 5, get 150 in bonus bets. So it's not just North Carolina that has this type of stuff. Did you find it?
We have basically even money on 3.5 blocks. It's minus 125 to the under, but nothing too crazy. And then it's... That's insanity. His steals line is 1.5, but that's juiced to the over.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking 5 stocks just as the... That's the expectation today.
Amazing. All right. 5 stocks is the expectation. There's a steals plus blocks line, by the way.
It's not on FanDuel, at least.
DraftKings has 5.5, the over at plus money, at plus 114.
That makes
under
sense.
Under at minus 145. But yeah, it's set at 5.5.
What do you say to that, man? Dude, that's 15 fantasy points on FanDuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing.
It really is.
Anybody else for the Spurs? You want to keep this one rolling?
Keep your eye on Keldon Johnson. That's my expectation of who steps into the starting lineup. I guess they could be weird and make it Chetty and keep everybody sort of in the same role. But you should be paying attention to this whole team just because Indy's defense is bad. San Antonio's defense is bad. And both of these teams play at a really fast pace. So every starter for San Antonio is very, very in play.
So I ran the Sims with a field of 5,000 and 30% up top. First run, just favored at 150, went to went to exposures, filtered to the Spurs, got 62% Keldon Johnson, 40% Wemby, 19% Trey Jones, and then everything else is like 6, 5, 7%.
Sure. Well, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
I just don't have as much Wemby, but I'm not surprised.
All right. By the way, link to this in the description, guys, for the Sims package. Week, a month, however you want to do it. I'm very proud to say that we brought back the All Access Data Package, so now we have something for everybody. Whether it's the lineup generator for one sport or All Access, whether it's the Sims Package, which is everything on the site for one sport or everything, or the All Access Data, Josh. I know you and I talked about it on Friday, but a lot of people were unhappy. People love the Sims. It's a groundbreaking tool, but some people have a process that they like to use. And that is utilizing our ownership, our boom bust, our top stacks tools, you know, projections, all of that stuff, Discord, and then building their own lineups around it, maybe in Cruncher or something. And they didn't have access to that without the Sims. Now you do. So we got you. We got something for any type of player. Hopefully that's helpful for you guys. I think it will be. And I think those of you who asked, you know, it's back. And you get a huge discount if you rock the Stochastic Avatar. You get that big discount. It's like a $100 discount or something crazy every single month. We also tossed in a light version of The Sims with that, too, for free, like no additional charge on top of it. Pretty cool. Link in the description. Generator, All Access Data Package, Sims, whatever you want. It's all down there. You ever have questions, hit me up in DMs. Look at Greg's tutorials, too. They'll go a long way for you. New York Knicks, Cleveland, 213.5 total. Mitchell and LeVert are questionable again. What's going on here?
Manchester United up 1-0 on Man City right now, baby.
Oh, okay, so this benefits you.
Oh, big way. We need Man City to lose here. This is a Manchester derby. Whew.
Yeah, I've been following that closely.
You should.
New York Knicks.
It's the most popular sporting event on the planet.
New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavs. The only news on the Knicks right now is that you have no Julius Randle still, no OG Anunoby. But there is a spot that I had to ask you about, because this is, look, Cleveland, you know, they're bottom 10 and bottom 10 in pace. They're top three in defense this year. We already know that it's never going to be a particularly good matchup, but guys like Josh Hart, when does the price point come up to a spot and the matchup get bad enough where you're like, you know what? The guy is playing the entirety of the game right now, but I'm still not getting there.
He played some decent minutes last time out, right?
I believe he played all but one of them.
Yes, 47.2 minutes from Josh Hart.
I thought, I was like, did I miss that this was an overtime game? I think it was, what, Warriors? It's like, did I miss that this was overtime? I went back and looked. This was not an overtime game.
No, my man just was out there.
It was just a random February regular season game.
Yeah.
That he gets 47.
This is a psychopath. He's a psychopath. I mean, this is a brutal matchup. 16% expected ownership for New York is by far the lowest number. It's half of the Pistons. It's 6% to Jalen Brunson and 5% to Dante DiVincenzo. Now, we have Jalen Brunson with some positive leverage. I tend to get to Brunson. I got one share of Jalen Brunson and nothing else for the Knicks. It's a 212 total. The Knicks play at the 30, dead last in pace. Cavs are 20th, also second in defense. 103 implied total is what I have here for the Knicks, which is just as bad as the Pistons today. I have nothing here, and I don't even know how to tell anybody that they should have them.
Yep. Only reason I frame it like that is because you can't ignore those minutes, but at some point the price is going to get to a point, to a spot where you're just not playing them anyway. How many minutes are you projecting Hart for, though?
I went 39. Probably light.
Probably.
I don't think it'll matter too much if I take him up to 40 or 41.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to do that forever.
It's Tibbs, man. I honestly don't think he gives a shit.
I completely agree. I don't think he gives a shit either.
Like if Brunson and Randall, if OG and Randall come back, then yeah, obviously you're not getting 47 minutes from him, but reasonable 41, 42.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we gave him 41. He's 4% optimal, 3.5% out.
We're getting to the same destination. We're arriving at the same place here. I still get zero of him in The Sims. Which is just, I'm just saying, it's crazy.
It's so bonkers, man.
It makes no sense.
So bonkers.
Like 47, he's played. Yeah, he's played 42 plus in four of his last five. And the only one that he didn't was a blowout loss where he got 40.
Yeah, he's out there for every bit that he can soak up.
Do you have
gross?
Do you have LeVert and Mitchell in?
I do.
By the way, dude, not that you care. You live in North Carolina, but you know from being in the area, it's March 3rd, usually very cold around it. 65 and plentiful sunshine today. Real treat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a real treat. Rained all day yesterday, but I'm gonna do some stuff outside.
It rained heavily for us. Yeah, I've got 65 here, so it's you and I are pretty comparable.
Yeah. I always get excited when it should be cold. And it's like beautiful.
Not, yeah.
Say what you want, man. Bountiful sunshine does a lot for the mood. It does a lot for the psyche.
I know. I hate it.
You would.
I love when you set your clock back and it's dark at 4:30 p.m. Those are the days that I want the most.
You know what's insane is that you're so much of a contrarian and I don't know, likely a masochist that. You probably, like, I don't know if you're serious or not.
I'm 100% serious.
See, that's concerning behavior.
Is it though?
I think so. Fucking moron. Yeah, I think so. I think there's some concerning elements of just wanting everything to be, you know, largely bad.
Why is that bad? Why is it bad that I prefer night to day? Isn't that just like, it's like anything else. It's like choosing hot dogs over hamburgers or something.
It's not.
Why not?
I mean, now you're just becoming a vampire.
I mean, we have people that live in places that have permanent darkness for large swaths of the year. What's wrong with those people? They can move.
The sun is psychologically, the sun is good for your, you know, for your mood, for everything.
Yeah, but
vitamin
that
D.
That implies that I didn't go out into the sun when it was around, but I would like it to go away faster.
Right, which is really odd.
No, I want it to feel like nighttime is at the right time. I don't want it to be bright at 8:30 and then my mind's like, well, when do you go to bed?
I prefer, you know what I don't like? I'm fine. People like get real depressed with seasonal affective disorder and stuff when the sun goes down really early. I'm all right with that. I don't prefer it at all. What I don't like is waking up when it's still dark for another hour and a half. That's what I hate. Not a fan.
It's like my favorite thing.
Right. Exactly.
I like getting up like that and having like a nice cup of coffee, and it just feels like the whole planet is silent.
So that is one aspect where I can go, I get it. But there's another spot where like the sun's kind of peeking in through the blinds.
Yeah.
I like that too, because it's,
I like easier. that entire ramp up is really nice.
Yeah. I get it. But I'm saying also, if I'm asleep and the sun starts hitting me a little bit, it's easier for me to get out of bed.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I still like the sun. I just want it to go away faster. It's like,
so you should live in Alaska.
I don't want the cold. It's an interesting dynamic. I need this experience, but also at 60 degree temperatures, which doesn't exist.
You should go move to Yakutsk.
That I went to Yakutsk town. Is that what you're talking about?
You've never been to Yakutsk, I'll tell you that much.
I don't know what that word is or where that place would be.
Well,
I assume Ben bets on them in soccer, though.
Might not even be Yakutsk. It's
even better.
Yakutsk. It gets to like minus 100 degrees Fahrenheit in the winter.
No.
And people have to leave their car. Like if they want to drive a car, they have to leave it running like overnight.
Or it'll freeze.
But then the crazy thing is in the summer, it gets as high as 85, 90 degrees.
Yeah. Now I don't want to be anywhere where it gets below zero.
Yeah. Me neither.
Like basically ever.
PA gets cold, but I don't mind it. I welcome global warming.
I don't think that's the way that we should be looking at it.
I mean, I don't live in a coastal area.
No, not yet. Not until the side of the East Coast breaks off into the ocean. Then you're going to have a beachfront property.
Worth a lot more.
Something like that.
All right.
It is weird to think that, like, all of our land masses just move around and the water goes up and down. And like, it's never been one thing.
Well, like,
so we're just like, oh, Florida's Florida. And it's like, well, yeah. And at one point in time, it was attached to something else, you know, 100,000 miles away or whatever. I know I'm exaggerating that amount of miles, but
like during the most recent ice age, technically we're still in a mini ice age, but that's whatever. During the most recent ice age, I looked into this. You know how they said like everything was under ice, and sure, like North America, you could have lived in Florida and the climate would have been better than it is today because there would have been no humidity. Actually, like Florida.
Yeah, but there would have been no painkillers. So why would you want to be in Florida then?
No zombies. There were some spots that would have been kind of nice. Anyway, let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Let's do it. Mostly uninterested.
That's what I was going to say, this game on both sides.
Yeah.
Charlotte, Toronto, Indy, Spurs are two games that have a lot. And then Detroit and Orlando, New York, Cleveland are kind of similar.
Yeah, like this is about as bad of a matchup as you can get for Cleveland. Like, has the Knicks defense been worse now that half their real players are out? Yeah, it has. But they do play in the slowest pace. This is horrible for Cleveland. Negative 3.2 possessions below their average. Really going to put a damper on things. No one is in double digits of ownership. Only Jared Allen got over 10% optimal. I actually have Jared Allen in 34% of lineups. He's 7,400. He continues to be in a really nice spot. He's a 1.1 fantasy point per minute guy. Like, he's the guy that I want to get to. I'm okay with getting shares of Mitchell or Garland, but I'm not really doing that right now. We have Mitchell 6% optimal, 3% owned. Garland is 3% optimal, 2% owned. What we really need to do is find the news on whether or not Donovan Mitchell and or Caris LeVert play, because if they don't, then we can start getting to more stuff from Cleveland. If they do play, they're not that interesting.
Well, let's wrap it up with a game that has big implications right now.
And basically nothing for us to talk about.
What's that?
And basically nothing for us to talk about.
Yeah. I mean,
at least on the Phoenix side.
It's a 9:30 tip.
Yep. By the way, I don't know if you know this. This is not on the FanDuel slate.
Are they
FanDuel dropped this game?
They're only doing four, huh?
Yeah. So
I kind of get it, but 5-4 is a pretty significant drop, especially.
It is. I don't like that.
Especially when two of your games are Knicks, Cleveland, Orlando, Detroit.
Yeah, I don't like dropping it to five. That's not enough games.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah. So just wanted to point that out, that this game is not on the FanDuel main slate.
Devin Booker, Yusuf Nurkic, and Eric Gordon. I'm labeling them questionable, but sure, we don't know. If I had to guess, right?
Okay.
I would say Devin Booker doubtful, Nurkic and Gordon questionable.
I think Nurk is out.
Confirmed?
No.
Oh, okay. The whole neck spasms thing, I don't know. But I do know dealing with an ankle where you can barely walk last night, like 12 hours ago.
I mean, Nurk missed the whole second half.
Oh, no, I get it. But I would – Eric Gordon, by the way, I just have no clue, because that's – I have no clue.
No, he's the epitome of a Q-tag.
Yeah. But I would say that Booker seems unlikely. You're probably right. You know what? Nurkic, that just playing yesterday, probably unlikely too. So
yeah, it's not like he's going to get a light night sleep. It's like 7 foot, 300 pound behemoth.
Yeah.
I bet he's stiff.
So let's just for a moment then assume that Booker and Nurkic are both out. We can say Gordon's in for now, whatever. But
let me just get this piece out of the way. Like, Shea, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, Lu Dort, Josh Giddey, they're all like 10-ish percent owned, 10-ish percent optimal. Sure. Nobody immediately stands out. Whichever one of those guys you like the most is fine. Shea looks really good, but at 10-7, he's also a little bit more pricey for the day. It's the starting five and nobody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get rid of them now, since they're not all that interesting and they have everybody in.
Sorry, I was reading chat talking about the Cat Williams and Joe Rogan podcast. And yeah, there were times where Joe I've never seen Joe lost for words. There was one time where he actually, like, he sits sideways to the microphone like this, looks up at the screen, he goes, "Be honest, I'm trying to think of how to respond to that."
Yeah, it's because, I mean, Cat just spit 3 hours worth of, like, mania.
And then Joe would say something that, by the way, I found it highly interesting and entertaining. But Joe would say something that was pretty factual, and Kat would just be like, "No, that's not how it is."
No. It's great. It's fantastic.
Anyway, let's assume for a second that Booker and Nurkic are out. You know, we've seen both of these guys miss time in the past. Can I interest you in some Bol Bol?
Yeah, probably. 4,300, power forward center. You know, we've seen him play a bit more recently, not in the most recent game, but three straight games when Beal was out and Gordon was out for two of them. Basically, two people were out for three straight games. It was Nurkic and Beal, then it was Beal and Gordon, and then Beal and Gordon again. We got 25 minutes a night at a Bol Bol. When one of those guys was able to be back, then you lost all of those minutes for Bol Bol. So if we can get two of those three out, I think we're going to get somewhere around 24 minutes for Bol Bol, at which point we're getting a guy that's around a fantasy point per minute, playing about 24 minutes. He's 4,300, becomes one of the better value plays we have today.
looking at the center. So yesterday, what, Bobo played 11 minutes. Eubanks played 12 minutes, right?
Yes.
Just pulling this up now. So Eubanks.
We got 10 out of Thad Young.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. I was looking to see where the additional playing time was coming from. That's and a Saban Lee played a few minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit concerning if Nurkic is out. How many do we give to Eubanks?
So when Nurkic missed on the 23rd,
mm-hmm.
that game only had Beal out. Eubanks played 25 minutes. Thad Young played 19. That was 44 minutes at center there. So that's probably, you know, assuming he's the starter, 24, 23, something like that.
24 at 4,500 in an underwhelming matchup for a guy that doesn't shoot. I mean, granted, I like getting to backup centers anytime you can.
He won't be great.
I don't think so either. I don't think so. I mean, Eubanks is
he's very playable on a five-game slate, but he's not going to be any sort of like ownership priority.
Sub one fantasy point per minute guy. Truthfully, if you thought that he was just going to get the like starter minutes, but hell, they don't even do it with Nurkic. But if you thought he could get 30, then you're locking Eubanks in.
Oh, yeah, but like he's not. Like Nurkic plays 25 a night.
That's what I mean. They don't even do it with their starter, who's actually pretty good.
Yeah, so. Somewhere in that like 22, 23 range, I think is where I'd be, and he would be very underwhelming.
We can wrap obviously it up.
Durant gets a massive bump if you lose Booker. That's going to help out a lot. I don't think Gordon will be all that interesting one way or the other. I don't think Grayson Allen's going to be that interesting one way or the other. I don't even think Royce O'Neal will be that interesting one way or the other. It's unless they hemorrhage everybody, it's probably not going to be that crazy here for Phoenix.
Yeah.
And if everybody's in, then like, I mean, we have Nurk 25% optimal, 22% owned at 28 minutes. I'm not on the same spot. If he's 22% owned, I just don't want to be there. He looks all right, but like I would prefer those stances that I have on 10% owned Jared Allen or 10% owned Miles Turner. Like I find it very easy to get away from that ownership.
So if you had to guess right now, let's just say Booker and Nurkic are both out. Yeah. What's the highest ownership percentage of anyone on this team?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but like, what do you think he'd come in around? Looking at the rest
20,
of the slate,
20 to 25.
So what I'm saying, that's still pretty crazy. You take Booker and Nurkic.
Bull Bull would be probably around 15 to 20.
Probably. At that. Yeah, what's 43 now, though? Yeah.
We call him a fantasy point per minute guy, and we give him, you know, 23 fantasy points. That's 5.4x his salary.
I also think it's going to be tough to just have any of these guys get massively steamed when you have Charlotte on this slate.
I agree. It's just not that kind of game. Like, for as good as the pace can be here for Phoenix, it's also a horrific defensive matchup. OKC's defense is incredible.
Anyway, Live Before Lock coming up later today. You guys have a great rest of the weekend. Yeah, great rest of the weekend. NBA Strategy Show returns Monday, tomorrow, 10 o'clock Eastern time. We'll see you guys soon.
Peace, everybody. Enjoy your day.